Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, Oscar fans, nominations are out. So what's going to win? I don't know, but I think this guy does. This is Keith Simonton from IMDb. I'm Tom O'Neill from Kirby, where 30 experts every year pipe in for who's going to get Oscar nominations and win. But this guy usually beats us all or has one of the highest prediction scores consistently. So, oh, wise one, what is your take on today's nominations?
Well, it was still a bunch of surprises. I mean, it wasn't like watching the Golden Globes, which was completely surprising and unpredictable. But there were a lot of surprises.
Yeah, particularly the omission of people of color. You know, we had only one non-white actor nominated, and that person portrays a slave. I mean, we had only 30% of the nominees be women, so we had gender imbalance again. And we were hoping for, in terms of people of color, Eddie Murphy getting in, or even J-Lo, and the Parasite actors. And it was this literal whitewash again, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm not one who wants to say, okay, well, we need to leave this box open and fill it in. But I'm really disappointed that Greta Gerwig didn't get a nom, or Lulu Wang, both of whom I really felt should have been a best director nominee. They certainly aren't facing exactly the same issue that BAFTAs are. But yeah, it's noticeable. Although, I mean, Parasite did do quite well.
Nominations are now in front of us. Who wins? Let's start with Best Picture. What's your take on the front runners?
Boy, you know, I'll tell you. I am very surprised, and just in general conversations, how popular Joker is. It's not a fun movie in any regard. It's actually my number one film of the year. But it's not it's a fairly depressing film.
And by the way, Keith, I just checked moments ago, cause I had the same kind of concern you have about Joker. I mean, I love it too. And moviegoers loved it, $1 billion worldwide, but it only had 69 score at Rotten Tomatoes. It wasn't, it didn't get such effusive love from critics as it got from Oscar voters and from moviegoers.
Well, and that would kind of follow the Green Book playbook, which is that, you know, maybe the intelligentsia doesn't quite, the film critics may not love it, but general audiences seem to. And again, that's surprising. I'm a little, just in snubs, I know this is probably a little controversial. We only had 9 again. I think they should just say, okay, we're going to do 10. Let's just do 10.
I agree.
Because, you know, there's Farewell doesn't get in. You know, I would have loved to have seen that. And this is the controversial one. I would have loved to have seen Avengers Endgame get in. In the same vein as Return of the King. Because that's a monument to incredibly successful filmmaking. Or, you know, Martin Scorsese might not think so. But just in the production. It's a monumental thing to have occurred. That long of a track record, that many people brought into theaters, generally adored, biggest hit of all time, and it's not nominated for a Best Picture. I think it should have been.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, here's the big issue we face in this Best Picture race as pundits, which is that tricky preferential ballot that bedevils us every year.
Yes.
So, you know, last year when Chris Beecham, our managing editor, started talking to actual Oscar voters, and who are very often extremely willing to tell you who they voted for.
Yes, they are.
And in every case of the voters we checked last year, Green Book was somewhere in their top three. And that should have tipped us off it was going to win. But it wasn't, in most cases, at number one when we checked. And I think we're going to see a similar situation this year where we have divisive movies like Joker, certainly a good example. Either number one, or it's your five or six or eight or nine. And in Parasite, it's either this great discovery of a movie that you bond with in a profound way, and it's your number one, or maybe you just don't get it and you put it down a little bit more. So I'm wondering, what do you think the ranking is going to be in the minds of Oscar voters now that we've seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood win Critics' Choice, which has an outright, check your winner voting system, unlike the Oscars where they actually ask rank. So what do you think? How is that going to play out? My answer to this, just to set up your own answer, would be that I had Parasite winning up until today. I'm thinking of switching to Once Upon a Time in the Hollywood, even though it didn't get nominated for film editing, and which is normally a tea leaf you need to win. But I could see that as everybody's number two if it's not their number one. What do you think?
I have to agree with you. And I hate agreeing with you, Tom.
It's no fun that way.
By the way, did you get Green Book for Best Picture last year?
No, I didn't. Did you? Oh, you son of a bitch. How did you know? Supreme powers of prognosis.
It's all mind power. Oh, it's brain power, Tom. It's all brain power. No, I have to agree with you. I think that everyone's number two and number three is going to be Once Upon a Time in America, or at Hollywood. Sorry, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's obviously a Valentine to Hollywood and a Valentine to movie making, and so I think it in those auspices it gets in. I feel and hear a lot of love for Parasite. But I don't know if there will be enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
People who do love it earnestly, they're devoted. I just don't. I would be very surprised. It would be very un-Academy like. Mm-hmm. But the rules are getting broken. It's kind of the same old Academy, and it's kind of a new Academy. You've got Honeyland, which is nominated for Best Doc and for Best International Film. I mean, when does that happen? So there's some, some mangoes going on. And there's, it's also a very interesting year for Best Actor. The Best Actor category really surprised me. Jonathan Pryce, who, thank God, that's his first nomination. This guy's been, working for a long time. Who doesn't remember him, from Something Wicked This Way Comes or Brazil? He's a great actor. But that was a big surprise. And then De Niro not being in there,
right.
Or Banderas getting in, that really made me happy. Seeing Antonio Banderas get in for a beautiful film. Pedro Almodovar's Pain and Glory, which otherwise is kind of being left out of the conversation. Obviously international film as well, but no one's seriously talking about him as a Best Director candidate.
And he didn't get in for screenplay, which is surprising, an award he's won in the past. But for Best Actor and Best Actress now, we have what Oscar voters love, which are the biggest performances in terms of bombast, and I don't think that detracts from their greatness, Joaquin Phoenix and Renee Zellweger. These are just performances that are on off the Richter scales. Yeah. And that the voters often like more is best, don't they?
Well, I think so. Although, you know, I am not. I really like Noah Baumbach as a director. I love Meyerowitz stories and Squid and the Whale and all that stuff. But I am not a Marriage Story fan, as you well know. But Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson, they leave everything on the field. And there is nothing that those two couldn't have done more. You know, and it's their large actor-y roles, both of those. Whereas Jonathan Pryce is very subdued. Antonio Banderas, very subdued. Joaquin Phoenix, you know, like, let's be honest, there's everyone's performances, and then there's that thing. He's a unique individual. I've interviewed him before. It's the worst interview I've ever had in my entire life. He's on stage in front of a lot of people.
Oh.
It went poorly. The only guy who saved it was the otherwise very taciturn Gus Van Sant. It was like, okay, well, I guess we're not. I asked Joaquin Phoenix. It was about Don't Worry, We Won't Go on Far on Foot, movie out last year. And I asked him, Joaquin, what, you know, how did you get, you know, just a softball question. How'd you get involved with this? And he goes, they sent me the script. I read the script. I liked the script. And he had, up to that point, he'd already been enough of a pain that I looked at him and I go, wow, you weave a tapestry. And it went from there.
My oddball, Joaquin Phoenix.
He's a genius, but it's a genius performance. Sorry, I interrupted you, Tom.
No, my oddball Joaquin Phoenix anecdote would be this. This goes back like 12 years ago or something at the Toronto Film Festival. There was some party, and he was made to attend with us peons there. And Thelma Adams, and it was a Cartier, one of the big jewelers, and it was had these glass cases. So you're standing here, and there might be some, you know, tiara or something in this glass case. So Thelma Adams and I are talking here, and there's Joaquin on the other side of this glass box. So we said, oh, hi, Joaquin. And we start to walk around the box one way or the other to say hello. He keeps the box between us as we kind of dance around in circles. He's answering questions. He's talking to us. But Thelma and I are trying to, he just would not have any direct face. It was so odd, but it was typical.
But again, there's everybody else's performances.
I know.
And then there's that thing. Yeah.
Let's double back to Best Picture, because
absolutely.
1917 is surging in a way that's fascinating now, and it really
absolutely.
Did today. So Best Director, we have to rethink now. The Sam Mendes thing's very serious, and suddenly, you know, I was of the mind that, oh, this is Bong Joon-ho to lose. He's the cineast out there, and if you look at the recent list of Oscar winners for director, it's always these art house guys, Iñárritu and Cuarón, etc.
Yeah, Iñárritu, yeah.
Foreign born, and he fits all those things. But boy, now if it really is Quentin Tarantino's year, and he's never won Best Picture or Director, all of a sudden this can matter, and he can surge here. And you've got this Sam Mendes thing. So who wins Director in your mind as of now?
Boy, I completely concur with what you were just saying. Bong Joon-ho just won last night tied last night with Sam Mendes at Critics' Choice.
Yeah, that's true.
And people seem to, you know, really find a lot out of both those films that they don't seem to be finding in The Departed, which surprises me in so many ways. I'm very surprised. And I guess that Todd Phillips is in for Joker. Whereas I think, you know, Joker makes sense in a lot of other areas. I was surprised by Todd. You know, it's one of those things like, who do you kick out if you put Greta Gerwig in there? You put Lula Wong, you know, That's a zero sum game. But, you know, and then I think you're right. Up until now, this was Tarantino's to lose. I think Tarantino gets screenplay, and there's just no question about that. And perhaps because they're like, okay, well, we're giving him screenplay, that changes the dynamic on whether they vote for him for director. Because I think they do like to spread it out. You know, like, yeah, okay. You know, but Mendes, you know, they have made much of this single shot. But still, the number of tracking long, you know, single shots they did in this thing are in 1917 are astounding. But yeah, he's surging, and Parasite is surging.
Yeah, and 1917. So, do you see a path for 1917 possibly winning Best Picture? Can that happen?
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Matter of fact,
I'm tempted to go there. Yeah.
I'm tempted to go there.
So we have three movies that we think can win Best Picture: 1917, yeah. Planet Time in America, and Parasite, and 1917. So, is there any other films in that field that can win Best Picture? Is The Irishman kind of out of it now?
I think The Irishman's out of it.
Yeah, I do too.
And that's just shocking. Zalian got Best Adapted Screenplay, but I think Best Adapted Screenplay goes to Greta Gerwig for Little Women, both because of the snub, kind of the Ben Affleck. Hey, let's give you, we got to do something here. But also because Little Women is just a stunning movie. I really loved it. And, I'm so happy that Florence Pugh got nominated and Saoirse Ronan. But here's Little Women, this chestnut we all know, or at least the people that know it, obviously. There's a whole generation that's discovering it, which is fantastic. But all of the tropes of Little Women, you know, the curler, her hair, you know, who marries the cute guy next door? She gets rid of that in the first 10 minutes. It's all gone. It was like, okay, Greta, what are you going to do now? And she just does a masterful job of reimagining that story. And so that to me, she ends up winning over Steve Zalian and over Todd Phillips and Scott Silver for Joker, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that her nomination here changes everything. I had Irishman winning previous to this. Little Women did very well. She didn't get in, obviously, for director, but it did very well otherwise, including Best Picture, and it's popping up in those crafts here. So. It was wonderful to see a lot of love, centric movie and among the nine nominees for Best Picture, that's with a female lead. It's just, you could say Marriage Story has co-leads between Adam Driver, but it's more focused on Adam. And it's a good thing for Little Women because it stands out all the more.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you the other surprise for me was the love for Ford v Ferrari.
yeah.
Which I found to be a fairly standard film. Mm-hmm. And clearly my deep and abiding love for cars, which I really don't have, was a problem for me because, boy, there are people who love that movie. I was surprised it was Best Picture. You know, I would have rather bumped it out and put in The Farewell. But you know, that's how these cookies crumble. People have made much that Christian Bale's not, you know, in the lead role and, you know, actor. It's like, nah. I mean, this is the best year. This is one of the things that really shocks me is best actor has been a fairly boring category for about the last 5 or 6 years. And this year it was like, look who got left off, you know, Eddie Murphy for Dolomite, who's absolutely wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And that kind of breaks my heart too. But ton of folks that were left off of this incredibly jam-packed Robert De Niro. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. You know,
it's an incredible category this year.
What happens with supporting actor, because Brad Pitt does not give a a physically transformative performance. Okay, yes, but hear me out. Yes, to win in supporting, you often have to have what's really a lead role, and he has that. And of course, he plays a down and out Hollywood character. They love that. Everyone feels like they are the down and out character in crazy competitive Hollywood, personally speaking, the deep, dark recess of your soul. And that's all good for him. But it's not a Brad Pitt becomes a famous character kind of thing. And he's up against Anthony Hopkins for Two Popes. He's up against Pacino, and he's up against Pesci, and so is there a chance of an upset?
Tom Hanks.
I think. My goodness!
Yeah. Every year, I have the one where I'm like, "Well, this one's over, and this one's over." Pitt's the only one who hasn't won a competitive acting Oscar in this category. All the other four have. It's showy, you know, because he won for. Plan B for 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah.
He hasn't won an acting. And I think this is the one this is the 2-foot putt for me this year.
Yeah, and I think that if, for example, the Parasite actor who plays the father, the chauffeur, if he had gotten in, it might have been different because sometimes they like to.
Maybe, yeah.
But the competition just didn't emerge among the nominees to take him down, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't know real that threat ever was. This seems like this has been these five guys for a long time for supporting. But I think it's Brad Pitt's.
And supporting actress, any chance of an upset there?
Of course there's a chance for an upset. However, I think, and the person they would be upsetting is Laura Dern. It's the showy role. It's the short, like if she doesn't come in and do that, you know, divorce lawyer role, that movie gets even more tedious than I found it. Excuse me. But it's a showy role. It's the, you know, and so I think if they upset anybody, it's Laura Dern. And who knows? I mean, they could give it to Scarlett Johansson because there's a lot of love. There's a lot of hate, but there's a lot of love for Jojo Rabbit. That film is actually, I have found to be more divisive than Joker in just my conversations with Academy members. There are people that are deeply offended by it. And I understand their concerns. And then there are people that that find that it is mocking exactly what it should mock. And it won the Toronto audience
award. Yeah, that's the key there, baby. And that's like Book had won that. And smart Oscarologists like you pay attention to that. I'm with you. I think there's your chance for a Scarlett upset here. Because think of some of the past wins, for example, like Jessica Lange winning in supporting for Tootsie, same year she was nominated in lead for Frances. Sometimes if you don't win in lead, they'll give it to you in supporting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, when Clooney won for Syriana, right? And yeah. Went up and basically went, well, I guess I'm not getting anything else. So thanks, guys. She knew it was like, all right, fine. This is what I'm getting this. I love that Florence Pugh is up here. She's had such an incredible, all of these performances are great. Margot Robbie in Bombshell, also just an amazing, amazing role. And Charlize Theron for Bombshell as well. I think Bombshell only wins for best makeup and hair. That might be number two with the, by the way, this one's over. It's a tough category. It's a tough guy. I was surprised that I'm not even going to try and butcher her name. I've done it before, and I shan't do so now. The grandmother from The Farewell.
I
was surprised she wasn't on here. That seemed to be a kind of a very classic Academy thing to do. You know, the bark Bakhtar Abdi, we're bringing you in because, you know, this is your first role and that we've ever seen you and we love you. And so here you go. That didn't happen.
No, but there's a lot of love for Margot Robbie and Florence Pugh personally. I think they have strong rooting factors. So if the voter is lazy or goes, you know, Laura Dern, everyone else is voting for her, this is where the upset could happen. Scarlett Johansson, we're saying, is a major player here. It's with Secret Ammo, with that secondary Oscar nomination. And so there's a big potential here for upset. Laura Dern should not take it for granted.
No, which I don't think she is. You know, she showed up at Critics' Choice last night. But
I was at her table last night.
Yeah. I think that was not a sure thing. She brought
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, I better show up.
But you know, I was sitting right behind Al Pacino, and so there was this traffic jam between my table and theirs, and people kind of breaking in all the time, right, trying to get into Pacino. And the grandma from The Farewell, we were just talking about, boy, he cleared the path, Pacino did, to have her come up and talk to him. And it was pretty cool to see this industry reverence for her. That was a wonderful moment.
That's great. I'll be interested in as well in score.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Thomas Newman, I think this is his 15th.
Something like that. Serial.
Something like that. You know, and this is the guy, he's the son of Alfred Newman, the guy who, you know, created the 20th Century Fox fanfare, right? This is Hollywood. You know, he's the cousin of Randy Newman. And he's had some wonderful scores. But he might lose to Joker.
I know. That's where the trend is going now. But 1917, the Thomas Newman score is so haunting. It's one of the real standouts of that movie.
Absolutely. You know, I know that people might not be as interested in this category, but for animation, I was thrilled that Klaus made it in. And I Lost My Body, which is this French film that is absolutely mesmerizing. It is about a severed hand making its way back to its body, and it's in French, and it's gorgeous. So I think that's actually a real. It probably goes to Toy Story 4, but that's a that's a real difficult category to call this year.
Weren't you shocked that Frozen 2, the biggest box office hit in animated film history, wasn't nominated? And it wasn't because it was a sequel. It was, you know, because you had How to Train Your Dragon 14 there and Toy Story 55 there. No problem with those. But, oh, Frozen 2, it was the women's movie that got skunked here. Ouch.
Oh, the women's movie.
I'm convinced of it. It was a wonderful film. And they just went, those chicks, you know.
The one that still just can befuddles me, and sorry, Laika, I know you guys do painstaking work, is the continued appearance of Missing Link in all of this, which is
one of the Golden Globes. It's not yet.
It won the Golden Globe. Watch that thing. I watched it.
They just didn't want to go.
But I'm super glad. Say again.
They just didn't want to do that Toy Story thing at the Golden Globes. They just wanted to be different.
They just wanted to be different. Boy, were they different. but it's a really strong category. You're right. I am surprised that Frozen 2 isn't there. I think, you know, I found it fine. It was not. But there are people that are deeply bored and angered at Frozen 2. You know, that I've talked to, and I was like, well, man, I can't generate that kind of animosity. But it's a good category.
Yeah. What do we make of Eddie Murphy not being nominated? I mean, you know, there we were last night at the Critics' Choice stage doing this wonderful career tribute, and you just saw, I'm sure, at this moment, of inner thought where you went, there's just something so right about this moment with him up there, the clip reel, his it's his time and place. The movie, I think, it's delightful. I love Silver Knight. And it just missed. My guess is, I think it just wasn't seen. I think it was the shortened Oscar season. I think the Farewell they didn't see. I don't think they saw this movie, and I don't think they saw some others that we just took for granted they would.
Yeah, I am surprised by it too. And I think on the flip side, you know, were they sitting there going, okay, what do we watch tonight? Do we watch Dolomite or do we watch The Two Popes? Because they're both Netflix. And they went, let's watch. Because I agree. I thought Dolomite, there's a scene early on in Dolomite where Eddie Murphy as Rudy is trying to pitch a song to Snoop Dogg, who's the local DJ. And Snoop Dogg character rejects him. And Eddie Murphy does this thing where he both takes in that he's been rejected, processes it. He's angry. He's hurt. And then he flips it all around, and he's suddenly right back with pitching him another idea. And it's in the span of like 5 seconds, maybe less. And it's just so brilliant. The best actor category, as I said, was the best it's been in a long time. And the folks that were left off it's just a pileup of really good acting and roles.
What are your favorite movies of the year? What are the what makes your top five, let's say, whether they're Oscar nominated or not?
My top five, if you can, I'll give me a second. I want to make sure.
Yeah, to refresh them. Mine would be like 1917, Parasite. I loved Jojo Rabbit. I love Judy. I think the movie is a Judy Queen going way back myself. I just think it's just magnificent film.
Judy Queen.
I don't know. Have you been to my apartment in New York? I can't remember. No, you haven't been to some of my movies. Let me tilt the camera for you to see right now. What is on my? Okay, I have to enable my camera here.
You've got to enable you, yeah.
And I don't know if this will reach here or not. And if you can see it, oh, there it is.
The blue.
Yes. On my wall is a. Is it catching in there? Yes.
Yeah. Is I see it.
A portrait of Judy Garland that was Truman Capote's. Was the centerpiece in his living room of his at his apartment at the UN Plaza. I bought it from his estate. The famous photographer who did all the Marilyn Monroe photos, Green. It's one of his series of celebrity pictures for Black Llama Furs, and he did it the morning after the Carnegie Hall, which is her greatest concert performance ever. And anyway, it has so that's the center thing in my living room in Los Angeles. So yeah, I'm an old Judy Queen from way back, and I love the movie, but. I don't buy the consensus that the movie was just okay, but the great. This is the case of where I think the critics were actually right, and it has an 85 score on Rotten Tomatoes. I was impressed by that.
Well, we can have our argument now.
So you gave us your list. What are your favorites?
Well, I mean, so we don't leave that line there. Renee Zellweger wins for. Judy Garland. Of course, we said this last year about Glenn Close. But I think it's a minor movie. I think it's actually, my big problem was, here's this always, considered fragile, fractured individual, Judy Garland herself, that had, multiple marriages, was known as being unreliable, was known as being a harridan at times, had many attempts on her own life. And in this film, it felt like if she'd just taken a nap and eaten a burger, she'd have been okay. I think she likely wins. So this is a controversial top five. My number one film is Joker. I think.
All right. I love Joker.
That will continue to be thought of and seen and well regarded. Number two is my film that I think is the epitome of what movies, not cinema, but what movies are, which is Avengers Endgame. You know, Martin Scorsese, when he first came out with his comments on comic book movies or the genre, I completely understood what he was saying. You know, although it's a big tent, the things over here on this side are just entertainments. I get it. But then when he followed up with the op-ed piece in the New York Times about how he loved the theatrical experience, it was like, whoa, hang on. Because if movies exist, you know, movie theaters exist 15, 20, 30 years from now, it will be because some 7 to 11-year-old, you know, little boy or little girl sat in those theaters watching Black Panther or Avengers Endgame and feeling that rush of, you know, joy and anger and just the thrill of movies. Not because he watched it on, you know, not because they watched 3 hours and 20 minutes of The Irishman on Netflix. So it's my number two. Number three is The Farewell, which I just find is so universal about family and its and the foibles and the lies we tell each other. I love it. Toy Story 4 is my number four. And it's, frankly, Pixar nails so many things that you don't realize were actually topics or topics that could make a movie. And obsolescence is the big villain in Toy Story 4. The fear of not, of kind of falling behind. And that is Toy Story 4. It's it's just a stunningly beautiful film. I'm saying stunning far too often. Irishman's number five because that's like watching those, you know, those guys take it around the track one more time, and that was worth it. Once Upon a Time is six, Some Little Women. Eight is also not popular. It's A Hidden Life.
I noticed that you had that on your cinematography predictions. For the nomination. Yeah,
Terrence Malick's A Hidden Life, which, you know, it's if you know the conceit, it's about a guy who lives in this beautiful, you know, mountain farm, and he's got a lovely wife, and he's got wonderful children. He's, you know, the mist comes out from the mountain, and so, you know, when Germany starts to enlist, he actually enlists in the German army, but they force him to take an oath to Hitler. You just have to sign it. It's an oath to Hitler, and he won't do it. And they torture him, and he's juxtaposing this with scenes of this life that he had, this world. And at one point in the theater, I certainly did, and I think this is Malick's point, is you sit there and you go, just sign the damn thing.
Yeah.
And once you say that to yourself and you think it, you're like, oh my God, that's how this happens. And here's this one person who refused, it's based on a true story, who refused to sign that oath. And of course he was, you know, tortured and all the horrible things you can imagine. It's quite powerful. 1917 is number nine. And then 10, just because I wanted to, is Klaus, which is nominated.
And no Parasite on your list.
It's in my top 20. I mean, actually, it's
okay.
That's in my top 20. But I admire Parasite more than I love it. Hmm. Which I realize is kind of the opposite of how a lot of people just adore it. I think the production design is just phenomenal. And of course I'd love to have seen more from SAGs with Parasite. but it's a great film.
Yeah, but it got the ensemble nomination, which was a big boost for it. Parasite.
Yeah.
It did not get any individual nominations, which was surprising, but considering it got the ensemble nomination. But again, that's just you're relying on voters to have to put get the spelling right and put it on their ballot. In the case of the Oscar, you don't get this list to choose from. You get a reminder list, and you have to write in what you want on your ballot. And that's how Kate went up and lead for the reader instead of supporting when that's where she was campaigning. It allows that freedom, but it also puts the burden on Oscar voters to get the names right. And so Parasite. Well, which one was the housekeeper? Was that, Lou Blood? Or was this? So it's our own Western.
Yeah, you go to IMDb to find out.
that's usually what I do. it's always what I do. Okay, well, keep going. Well, let's do this again before Oscar nominations. And when the Oscar wins. See if we change our minds.
Well, I imagine we will, and I imagine I won't tell you.
well, what do we say? We're going to take you down, brother. All right, thanks.
All right, Tom.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.